Cause that's the bottom line.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, May the 2nd edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. On today's show, people locally still buzzing over Kroger Field. But will Rupp Arena get a name change anytime soon? The Reds win an extra inning thriller on a game-winning hit from a guy who hasn't had an extra base hit in almost a month. The NBA playoffs continue, and one team shows you why you need to adapt to change. Some veteran NFL quarterbacks are still pissed off at the NFL draft. One kid goes from the outhouse to the penthouse overnight. And we make an NBA pick tonight after picking the biggest underdog in Major League Baseball last night to win, which they did. So let's go.
You are listening live.
People locally still abuzz over the announcement on Monday, yesterday, that Kroger Field is the new name for the old Commonwealth Stadium. And when asked if Rupp Arena, which is a little over 40 years old now, if that place would ever get a name change, Athletic Director Mitch Barnhart said, no, that's not something we're looking into at the moment. My thing is this, when you say that, what are you really saying? Ooh, we'll name anything for the football field. Oh, but we're not going to change the name of the basketball arena because I'm sorry, basketball is much more important to us than football is. We have a much richer tradition in basketball, and football is something that makes us a lot of money, and that's why we don't mind having Kroger Field. Because God knows, we're not going to win a national championship in football anytime soon, so why not just sell out to the highest bidder? Whereas in basketball, oh, we can't change things. We have tradition. You don't see Cameron Indoor Stadium naming out their arena. You don't see Fog Allen Fieldhouse naming out their arena. So we can't do it either. Sure you can't. If somebody came to you with enough money, you would rename Rupp Arena in a heartbeat. And don't say you wouldn't, because everybody's got a price. But it's very obvious that everybody in UK, from the athletic director on down, holds basketball to a much higher level than they do football. Because I can promise you this, we would never be hearing about a basketball game being played at Kroger Arena in downtown Lexington. I can promise you that. But as a great man once told me, everybody's got a price.
Hey, don't be upset with her. She did the same thing that anybody else in her position would have done. She did the same thing that you would have done. She had her price, just like each and every one of you have your price. Everybody's got a price for the million-dollar man.
One more quick college basketball note. There's a kid from Norcross, Georgia, a 6'2 point guard named Jordan Goldwire. And I'm sure you recruiting lovers out there, God bless you if you are one of those, I'm sure you've all heard of this kid, and I can be honest, I've never heard of him. Now, he took two recruiting visits. He was choosing between Mercer, which is in Macon, Georgia, and Eastern Kentucky from Richmond. He was going to decide on Eastern Kentucky until, lo and behold, Duke comes into the picture and says, hey, Jordan Goldwire, you want to come in and play for us next year? We're going to give you a scholarship. Let's see. Going to Eastern and looking for parties on what used to be First Street in Richmond, Kentucky? Or going to play for Coach K at Duke? I wonder what he'll choose. So sorry, Eastern. You had yourself a point guard until Duke came in and nabbed him. I can promise you his winters will be a lot different playing at Cameron Indoor Stadium in front of the Duke Cameron Crazies than it will be at Alumni Coliseum in Richmond, Kentucky. But hey, if you're Eastern, here's one consolation. You almost had a player that Duke eventually got. I guess there's that. But what do you feel today if you're Jordan Goldwire? You feel like you hit the lottery. Man, I was going to Richmond, Kentucky a couple weeks ago. Now I'm going to Duke. And his boys have got to be like, yo, man, this guy's not good enough to play at Duke. Well, success in life depends on a lot of things. What your last name is, how much butt you kiss, and sometimes being in the right place at the right time. Timing. Being unsigned and one of the best programs in America in desperate need of a point guard for next year. Congratulations, Jordan Goldwire. you hit the lottery. But whatever you do, don't ever transfer. Get that Duke degree and graduate in 4 years. That's the best thing I could ever tell you, my friend.
Stay tuned for all the excitement of the world champion Cincinnati Reds. Reds Radio is produced solely by the broadcast department of the Cincinnati Reds Incorporated.
Major League Baseball, the Reds win again last night, 4-3 in 10 innings. Billy Hamilton with the game-winning double in extra innings, and that game-winning double was his first extra base hit since April the 9th. That capped a 2-for-5 game for him with a run and 3 stolen bases, helping fantasy teams across America. But what's really killing his fantasy owners, he's hitting .222, and his on-base percentage now has risen, after last night, to .271. Not exactly your prototypical leadoff hitter. Ricky Henderson is not shaking in his drawers. Then again, Ricky Henderson doesn't worry about anything other than Ricky, if you know what I mean. But as we talked about yesterday, all of Cincinnati hating on Joey Votto simply because he's walking too much. Well, how did they get that game-winning run last night? Tucker Barnhart took a walk, was pinch run for by Armisendi Alcantara. An errant pickoff throw got Alcantara to second, and then Hamilton brought him home. Take that for your little walks suck tirade, Marty Brenneman. But the Reds win. Adam Duvall, his 9th home run of the season, now hitting .250 on the year. His 3rd home run in 5 games, but of course in the 8 games previously to that, he was 4-for-35. Amir Garrett showed his early season form again last night. 7 innings, 2 runs, and only 4 base runners. ERA now down to 4.5. Drew Storen, our favorite guy out of the Reds bullpen, blown save last night off a Josh Harrison home run. His ERA still at 1.38. Michael Lorenz had a 2-inning win, 3 strikeouts. Zach Cozart, another 0-for-4. Now in his last 4 games, 1-for-16. Amazingly, that coincides with when he was moved to number 2 in the lineup. And his batting average now has gone from .402 at the beginning of last week to .333. Once again, don't say we didn't tell you. Devin Mesoraco sat out again last night. By the way, the 3 highest paid Reds for this season, Joey Votto deserves it, Homer Bailey, and Devin Mesoraco. 1 out of 3 ain't bad. And that 1 is universally hated, but I digress. Reds and Pirates, the 2nd of 4 tonight. Tyler Glasnow, 7.98 ERA for the Pirates. Scott Feldman, 3.25 for the Reds. Reds now 4-0 versus Pittsburgh this season. They've won 2 in a row overall. Pirates have lost 2 in a row. Neither of these teams in a great spot to claim victory tonight. The Reds, 6-8 at home, 2-3 as a home favorite, and they are favored, minus 130. Pirates plus 120. Pirates on the road, 5-8, and as a road dog, they're 5-7. Glasnow faces the Reds on April 10th, his first start of the season, and he went 1 2/3 innings and gave up 5 runs. Red flag for Scott Feldman after a great start, considering the first inning of the season. I thought he wouldn't even get a ride home after giving up 3 runs in the first inning against the Phillies on opening day. He's walked 5 guys or more 2 of the last 3 games. So neither of these pitchers exactly lighting it up right now. But with the Reds as a small favorite, the Pirates obviously have the value. But how can you put anything on Tyler Glasnow, who this season has no quality starts, and in his longest effort went 5 innings against the Cubs 2 weeks ago and still allowed 4 runs in those 5 innings? The Pirates have to outscore the Reds tonight. That's the only way they can win, because Glasnow has proven he just doesn't have it this year.
There's a looper. May drop. It's in for a hit. Here comes a throw to third. Rose hits the dirt. He's safe. And there goes Morgan down to second. And the Reds have the lead 4-3 as Joe Morgan looped a base hit into center field.
Other Major League Baseball from last night. The Orioles and Red Sox got together to renew a rivalry going back to at least a week and a half when Manny Machado came in high on Dustin Pedroia at second base, causing Pedroia to miss a few games. First at bat last night, Machado hits one about 600 feet over the Green Monster. And if you saw the highlight, he took his sweet time getting around the bases to a chorus of boos from Fenway Park, where the fans were seemingly in a very foul mood because center fielder Adam Jones, who went 0-for-4, claimed after the game that he was enduring several racial epithets from the Fenway Park crowd. Wow, there are racists in Boston? I'm shocked. Of course, the Red Sox immediately apologized, which they should. So we'll see how Adam Jones is treated tonight. Something tells me it might be a little worse than it was last night.
Is it true that Johnny Carson was the first one to call you Mr. Baseball?
Yeah, he did. Matter of fact, the first show I did in New York in 1969, after the show was over, you know, you say goodnight, everybody's shaking hands and everything. And as I walked away, I heard him ask Ed McMahon. He said, did that guy really play baseball? And Ed said, I think so.
What do you do when you're the manager of a 9-17 team and you finally win a game? You call the post-game radio show. That's what John Gibbons of the Blue Jays did after his team beat the Yankees in New York last night. And he called the Toronto Blue Jays post-game call-in show, wanting to applaud the manager for switching catchers at the last minute, calling the hosts a bunch of bozos, and then asking how he could get some free tickets. Hey, when you're 9-17 and you're 8 games behind on May the 1st, yeah, you do what you have to do to lighten things up, especially when you're John Gibbons and you know you have no shot in hell of making the playoffs this year, as opposed to the last couple of years when you should have won more than you did in the playoffs.
Doing a game about 1980 with Howard Cosell, who thought he knew everything about baseball, but he really knew nothing. And Bob Uecker, and Howard wanted the Astros to bunt in a situation where a bunt was absolutely not called for. Uecker is mildly chiding him the way he did on the air. And Howard goes, Uke, I get your point. You don't have to be so truculent. You do know what truculent means, don't you? And without hesitation, Uecker says, of course, Howard, if you had a truck and I borrowed it, it would be a truculent. And that was Bob Uecker.
Alex Bregman is a third baseman for the Houston Astros, and his team last year won 5 of 19 games against the cross-state rival Texas Rangers. So, what does Bregman do before the game? He goes on Twitter and says, it's Operation Beat the Crap Out of the Rangers, except crap is what you might think it is. And of course, he also spelled Operation with 2 P's, which immediately tells me all I need to know about Alex Bregman, who I'm already mad at for underachieving on my fantasy team this year, but I digress. And of course, Operation Beat the Crap Out of the Rangers starts with a bench-clearing brawl last night, simply because of the fact that Bregman came in on Twitter and said this. But the Astros won last night. This will be one of only 19 meetings between the teams this year. But as we predicted in March on this show, right before opening day, the Houston Astros are our pick to win the World Series. So if you're the Rangers, if you can't beat them, throw at their heads.
You know, one of the best things about being an ex-big leaguer is getting freebies to the game. Call the front office, bingo. And once these fans recognize me, I probably won't even have to pay for my life here from Miller.
Down the track!
I love them. Good seats, huh?
You're in the wrong seat, buddy. Come on.
Oh, I must be in the front row.
Come on.
Good seats, hey, buddy? He missed the tag!
Carlos Martinez is a pitcher for the St. Louis Cardinals, the opening day starter for the team. Last year, he was 16-9 with a 3.04 ERA. Very impressive season. One of the best young pitchers in the league. But this year, so far, he's 0-3 with a 4.71 ERA. And how do you know when Carlos Martinez is pitching? You can usually see his blonde extensions flowing out of the back of his baseball hat. Yesterday, he announced that he has taken the extensions off and now looks like a somewhat normal human being, much to the thrill of his manager Mike Matheny, who now expects Martinez to get back into Cy Young form. And if you're wondering, where have I heard Carlos Martinez's name before? Oh yeah, a couple of years ago it was announced that in his bedroom he has a wall of porn, in which he has nothing but pornographic pictures all over the side of his wall in his bedroom. If that doesn't tell you everything you need to know about Carlos Martinez, nothing will.
How many home runs are you going to hit with that?
Let's see, we play 30 games, 10 at-bats a game, 3,000.
Last night on the West Coast, Dodgers and Giants, Clayton Kershaw versus Johnny Cueto, a game that we correctly predicted in the Giants defeating Clayton Kershaw last night, 4-3. Just more proof that there is so much value in baseball by taking these underdogs than by going on guys like Clayton Kershaw every night, who are horribly overvalued. Not that we're patting ourselves on the back, but we won a 2-1 wager in baseball last night, and we're feeling very good about ourselves.
We're not the kind of guys to say, we told you so, but we told you so.
Bad news for TV viewers of the show Pitch. And you may remember that advertised ad nauseum during last year's World Series, in which a girl is a major league pitcher. and it focuses on the girl and her father and maneuvering through the world of Major League Baseball as a girl. Really? That's the best idea you can come up with, Fox? The only reason I remember the advertising for this show is because Zach Morris from Saved by the Bell was the catcher on this team. There's a shocker. Zach Morris involved in a really bad TV show that got canceled. I can't believe it. You have only yourselves to blame, Fox. But then again, a television show based on a girl pitching in the major leagues, you get what you deserve. The NBA last night, Houston, big over San Antonio game one by 27 points. San Antonio basically proving that if you do not adapt in the NBA, you will die. And so if you keep guys like Tim Duncan, who is in his first year of retirement, guys like Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, well past their prime, if you keep them that long, they will show their age and your team will not get any better. The fact that this team has been as good as they've been in the regular season for the last 2 or 3 years is a miracle in itself. But we thought that Houston would probably win this series before last night, and we definitely think so now. Of course, after the game, Greg Popovich was asked about Houston. He only had two words for them. They won. Why didn't he go full-on Rasheed Wallace and say both teams played hard? Cleveland defeated Toronto by 11, but it should have and could have been more. LeBron James apparently was fake drinking beer during the game, and it got so bad that Dante Jones was fined $6,000 for drawing two technicals for merely talking. And of course, LeBron today has already said, I'll pay the fine. People don't understand. Dante Jones was signed so late in the season, he only made $9,000 during the regular season. Then he just got fined $6,000 last night. This guy's going to go broke. Tonight, game one, Utah and Golden State. The Warriors a 13-point favorite. Golden State disappointed that they're playing Utah because there's no nightlife in Utah, so they wanted to play the Clippers. Too bad about that, Golden State fans. But at least the Warriors have been offered to be taken to Vegas by members of the Utah Jazz. Yeah, this won't sit very well with the Utah faithful come game three when they go to Utah. And of course, Washington-Boston game two, we'll talk more about that later in the Mac Daddy Stogie segment. NFL news. Seems a lot of quarterbacks got their feelings hurt over the weekend. Mike Glennon, the new Chicago Bears quarterback, said he felt like he was cheated on, especially after he was invited to the Bears draft party where all these fans were going to show up and everybody was going to cheer and he was going to get up on stage and speak. That is kind of bad. Have a draft party to bring in new players, competition for your job, and then all of a sudden you see that the team mortgages their future for the next 3 years to get a guy to replace you before you've even played it down. It's the nature of the business, but I do see where it would be very awkward. And of course, Alex Smith, not feeling very happy that Andy Reid mortgaged his future to take a Texas Tech quarterback very few people have seen play on television. And yesterday, Andy Reid said, well, we love Alex Smith, but he's getting older. Well, Alex Smith is going to be 33 years old this year, and he's never been a top 10 rated quarterback in the league. You can love him all you want. You get to a point, you just can't be walking in the same place year after year. But what else did we really learn from this year's draft? It's okay to skip the bowl game. Leonard Fournette skipped the bowl game. Early first round pick. Christian McCaffrey skipped the bowl game. Early first round pick. Jake Butt. There's a great name. How miserable was this kid's childhood with a last name Butt, B-U-T-T? I digress. He did not skip the bowl game. And what happened to him? ACL injury, falls in the draft. Goes from projected first or second round pick to a guy who barely got picked and lost several hundred thousand dollars. So next year, when you see these players skipping bowl games, don't you dare get on your high horse and say things like, oh, he should be playing for his school, for his team. You think Leonard Fournette gives two rips about his team right now after he got drafted? You think Christian McCaffrey gives two rips about his team right now? No way. They are cashing in, and they made the right move. Jake Butt, unfortunately, did not.
I've had more belts than most people have shoes. I've had clothes, cars, diamond rings, watches, houses, women galore.
Want to skip somebody in your fantasy football draft this year? How about Kelvin Benjamin of the Carolina Panthers? Listed at 6'5", 245, he showed up at a workout this week weighing 280. A wide receiver at 280. This guy is better fit to play left tackle than he is wide receiver right now. And his coach, of course, Riverboat Ron Rivera, says, oh, he comes in fat every year. Well, he also tore an ACL 1 year, too, and that told me everything I need to know. So, stock down, Kelvin Benjamin.
The road to the Super Bowl is long and pointless.
But now, the two conference champs must survive a harrowing bye week that no one enjoys.
Bye weeks? Bronco Nagurski didn't get no bye weeks. And now he's dead. Well, maybe they're a good thing.
Late word coming down this morning that more ESPN layoffs have taken the jobs of NFL reporters Ron Jaworski and Merrill Hodge. Ron Jaworski, former Monday Night Football commentator, most known in my world for A, sticking it up for the Eagles in the Super Bowl against the Raiders back in the day, and B, claiming that Colin Kaepernick would be one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the NFL after his first season. And there's a lot of people that didn't like Merrill Hodge. You know why? He seemed a little bit different. He seemed a little bit off. And he made quite a few outlandish predictions and statements. And he kept quoting that stupid Lombardi, we need a seal here and a seal here and run the ball in the alley. He quoted that 3 gazillion times. It's like, dude, we got it the first 5 times. You don't have to say it every single time you're on the air. But he was right about a lot of things too. And that's why I kind of enjoyed him. But you had to take it with a grain of salt. But it's sad to see these two guys go because of the clowns that are probably going to replace them.
Oh, the Denver Broncos.
I think owning the Denver Broncos is pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, explain to me why it isn't.
You just don't understand football, Marge.
Word came down yesterday that Kelly Ripa of Live with Kelly, which used to be Live with Regis and Kelly, which used to be Live with Regis and Kathy Lee. By the way, that's Regis' show. Let's just be honest. Anyway, Kelly Ripa announced that Ryan Seacrest will be the new co-host with her. Wonderful. Which leads me to the only question I ever have. Anytime I think of Ryan Seacrest, who grew up in Dunwoody, Georgia, which is where I lived in Atlanta for several years, but I digress. But when I think Ryan Seacrest, I think one thing and one thing alone. Brian Dunkelman. Now you're asking yourself, who in God's name is Brian Dunkelman? Brian Dunkelman was the co-host of American Idol the first season with Ryan Seacrest. And they were both out there doing the little American Idol thing, whatever that was back in the day. I'm not going to lie, I wasn't a huge American Idol fan because I live in the real world, but that's okay. But anyway, after the first season, Dunkelman allegedly quit the show for whatever reason. Whether he thought he was going to be fired, whether he just didn't like the show, whether he thought he could do better, whatever. He quits the show. And of course, the rest is history for Ryan Seacrest after that. He goes on to be a media conglomerate superstar, and Brian Dunkelman is God knows where, probably doing stand-up comedy at strip club somewhere in Reno, Nevada. So congratulations to Ryan Seacrest, who nobody in my little world likes, but props to Brian Dunkelman. God bless you, my friend, wherever you are, because this news just has to put even more salt in that wound. But it teaches us one lesson about life and about our careers. Never leave a gig unless you know you have another gig lined up. Brian Dunkelman did not have another gig lined up. And apparently, he still doesn't. So God bless you, Brian Dunkelman, wherever you are, my friend. If you haven't jumped off a bridge by now, thankfully you never will.
I want winners.
Greed is good.
Cash. Cold. That's what I need.
Now with his picks for today's games, the man who's right 52% of the time, smooth, Jimmy Apollo.
Well, I don't know. Denver.
Woohoo! Denver, yeah!
Winning's one of those rare commodities on Earth that money cannot buy until you called me.
All right, it's Mac Daddy Stogie time. We go back to the NBA and we employ our zigzag theory. Game number 2, Washington Bullets versus Boston Celtics. Yes, we know they're the Wizards, but in our world, they're always going to be the Bullets. With Wes Unseld's Big Fro and Elvin Hayes in his knee-high socks. Boston got down huge early in the first quarter of Game 1 on Sunday and still won the game. Boston a 5.5-point favorite in Game 2 tonight. We will take the Washington Wizards / Bullets. Getting those 5.5 points tonight to either keep the game close or win straight up NBA Zigzag Theory hitting about 50% on the year. We're looking for a couple of more to get it over that Mendoza line of 52.38. So the Bullets tonight take Washington and your boy Johnny Wall to cover tonight against the Celtics. And let's hope by the end of the fourth quarter, you've already lit that Big Mac Daddy stogie and you can take that one to the desert and smoke it.
You are better than the rest of us. If no one told you yet you're a genius and an artist, let me be the first.
Okay, I don't know if you can say that, because I think it's subjective, man. I mean, we all have something to offer.
Bullshit. Genius is magical, not material. If you don't have the magic, no amount of wishing will make it so.
And that does it for the Tuesday, May the 2nd edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. As always, we thank you so much for listening. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Bottom Line Lex. Email anytime, bottomlinelex@gmail.com. And make sure to like us on Facebook, the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.